TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. Get in the know. Non-stop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and scorenorth.com.
Cousins forgetting about the field goal, feeling one-armed, able to bring it down for the touchdown.
Welcome into Purple Daily, State of Kirk Cousins Wednesday and a pecking order, and it's powered by Corona Hard Seltzer. Declan Goff, still celebrating that Kirk Cousins Monday night victory.
I'll be drinking a lot of, blackberry limes here over the next three games, boys, because we got wins on the schedule. Jameis and Winston just going to be eating all these W's. I'm going to be just pounding Corona Hard Seltzers.
More like Jameis Lawston.
Oh, I see what you did there. That could be the case here in about a month if Drew Brees has a collapsed lung and broken ribs. I mean, that dude could be out for a while. And I highly recommend that Drew Brees maybe goes into some Corona Hard Seltzers because it's the only hard seltzer made with pure beach vibes with a refreshing splash of fruit flavors such as tropical lime, mango, cherry, and blackberry lime. Corona Hard Seltzer is a tasty spike sparkling water with a splash of natural fruit flavor that allows you to enjoy the moment in each can. Corona Hard Seltzer has zero carbs, zero sugar, 90 calories, and is gluten-free. Relax responsibly. Corona Hard Seltzer, spiked sparkling water with natural flavors, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Football.
Down at six. And Chicago has all three timeouts remaining. Here's Kyle Rudolph, who is smart enough to stay inbounds. And he'll be dropped by Mingo. And you see how fired up Kirk Cousins is. Number Chicago one. Will spend a timeout.
20 points, man. Yes, you gave us a chance at the end, but I got three words for you. You like that?
Yeah! You like how that tastes? You like how that tastes?
I thought we were past that.
No, we're not.
I'm still so incredibly uncomfortable.
I heard it all week long, right? 0-9 on Monday night. You like how this tastes?
No, you just want to be standing. Oh, my, don't do it. Get someone else to do it.
Oh, you don't like how that tastes.
Oh, you like how this, I don't. It's so creepy.
Zen, oh, man. So, all right, welcome in. It's Purple Daily, Phil Mackey, Judd Zolgad, Declan Goff, and every Wednesday we dive into our State of Kirk Cousins discussion, powered by Corona Hard Seltzer, spiked sparkling water, and we cheers the can to Kirk. Even though we've been super hard on him on this show, Apple, Spotify, ScoreNorth.com, and also YouTube.com/Purple Daily Podcast are the places you can find us every day talking Vikings. But we've been super hard on him, and I think it's time now for sort of a look back at these last three games, a look back at where Kirk's at here. And before we get into the deep dive, he does deserve, without any yeah buts or anything, a ton of credit for the way that he played in that Monday night game. That interception was not his fault. He played perfectly within the scheme, and I think even more credit, too, to Gary Kubiak for just figuring out exactly how to use these chess pieces. So before we get into any sort of evaluation and a look at the future, I do think Kirk deserves a tip of the cap to celebrate his win on Monday, because we've been super critical, and we can also admit when someone deserves praise. At least
Kirk was fantastic. I'm saying that Kirk, look, my big picture feelings about Kirk have not changed, but Kirk played well. And if Kirk is put, and we have said this from day one too, if Kirk is put in a position to succeed, he can. It's when you put the whole load on Kirk's shoulders, you have problems. But the game plan against the Bears, and keep in mind too, a good defense. So yes, the Bears' offense stinks. It's terrible. But their defense is good. And the Vikings stuck with a game plan and showed patience, and I really believe ultimately put Cousins in a position to succeed. And the kudos to Kirk is he can then take the baton at that point in time and be successful, and Kirk was. So I think we all agree that Kirk Cousins, that without necessarily altering our feelings about Kirk, because I get those notes about now, you see, no. I've always said this. If Kirk is put in a position to do the best that Kirk can, I think Kirk can be a good quarterback.
Actually, let's start with, because
is that fair?
That's fair.
I just want to know what's fair here. It frustrates me when I'm asked to be like, oh, you're going to have to walk back. No, I really don't have to walk it all back.
Let me read one of them, because Will McNeil hit us up on Twitter. And we'll take the criticism if you disagree with anything.
Well, and Will's fine. Like, he's just a fan, which is absolutely fine.
And Will said, nothing makes me happier than, this is on Twitter, @PhilMackey, @JZolgad, @DexasTweets. Nothing makes me happier than watching Courtney Cronin, Phil Mackey, and Judd Zulgad walk back all their hot seat Zim and Kirk BS after our bad start. Zim, great at dealing with adversity. He's shown that repeatedly, fixing defense on the fly. Kirk, one interception in three games post-bye. And by the way, that interception was not his fault. Keep doubting Skol. To which I did retweet this and say, I would still look to move Kirk in the offseason. Okay?
Yes.
Don't get me wrong. Like, if he finishes the season hot, it just makes it more likely that I can trade him to San Francisco and get out from underneath the $33 million.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you can say two things. Kirk is playing really well. Mm-hmm. He has turned his season around. And in part because of that, the Vikings are turning their season around. And long-term, I'm still really interested in a cheaper, younger, mobile quarterback that I can mold for the next 8 to 10 years. And those two things can be
true. If you were to ask me post-bye week, who has been most responsible for the Vikings going from 1-5 to now, 4-5, I still think it's the coaching staff. I don't think it's Kirk. I think it's a coaching staff that came in with an aggressive, sort of unfocused plan here and sat down after that debacle of the Falcons loss and said, hold on a second here. We're going to have to rethink how we do things. And so Mike has put the defense in a position to succeed, and Mike and Gary together, I think, took the offensive structure, which featured Cook a lot, and basically upped the ante and said, but the one thing that we didn't do in the first six games that they have done in the past three is put Kirk in a position to succeed. So if you're asking me to walk things back, I would start with, or give credit, I would start with, I think the coaching staff has done a phenomenal job and deserves a ton of praise for that.
I agree. I totally agree. I want to give you guys a couple interesting Kirk Cousins statistics, and then we can get into sort of the deeper dive into the state of Kirk Cousins here. So he, according to Pro Football Focus, is the highest graded quarterback when under pressure this year. Kirk Cousins has like a 68 grade. I don't have it in front of me. It's like a 68 grade when under pressure this year. I also saw on ESPN that Tom Brady, when he's under pressure this year, has like a 30 quarterback rating with no touchdowns and multiple picks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're asking me, who do I want at quarterback for the rest of the season, when, like, even when there's like pressure in his face, like, I'll still take Tom Brady. So some of these numbers don't necessarily fit my own perception, but they are very interesting. And then Kirk Cousins also still leads the NFL in yards per pass attempt, just a shade under 9 yards per pass attempt, more than Russell Wilson, more than Josh Allen, more than Tom Brady, number one in the NFL. Now, on that second statistic, I think a lot of that, again, credit to Kirk, but also credit to Gary Kubiak and Dalvin Cook, because when I see a yards per attempt number that high and I see the Vikings running the ball as often as they are, to me, those runs and the threat of Dalvin Cook and then the way you can play action and call rollouts and bootlegs, it's opening up that middle chunk of the field from, like, you know, 8 to 20 yards in the air, and that's where you see a lot of the, like, even Kyle Rudolph, like, a lot of the receptions he has, it's wide open in the middle of the field, and then he can just sort of lean forward for 10 or 11 yards because, guess what? That second level of defenders has to worry about Dalvin Cook so much.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that yards per attempt number being so much higher, it's like 2 yards higher than it was when Kirk started with the Vikings in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
It's less about Kirk all of a sudden, like, taking more shots down the field, and it's more about the running game being so effective and the scheme honing in on what works in the passing game.
And keep in mind, too, if I'm not mistaken, Kirk was talking about this. Was it coming out of the bye initially or going into it when Kirk was during his presser on a Wednesday, I think, talked about hitting more singles instead of doubles, home runs. This is all basically what he... So Kirk didn't think that up himself. He had been told this and articulated it as his own to the press. But I think what he was getting at, and that we've seen for sure in these past three games, was the desire to have Kirk be efficient. Right? It's as efficient as possible. And what is that? That is short passes, like to your tight ends, to Jefferson. And so it wasn't that Kirk didn't sit home the week of the bye, in my opinion, and say, you know what I'd really like to do? Get more singles. Those home runs are no fun. Quarterbacks like to hit home runs. But I think what Kirk was told and what Kubiak and Mike probably realized and is the smart play is we've got this back who teams are going to have to, if we give him again, too, it's a lot, 30 carries per game that they're going to have to hyper-focus on said back. And so if that's the case, what does that spring for Kirk on short passes that can be successful? Because Kirk can throw those passes and he's done a good job. But that goes back to that entire thing of I need to hit more singles.
Yeah.
Not being a Kirk thought, but basically being a schematic conversation that probably took place between Kubiak and Cousins.
His, like when he said that a couple weeks ago, it kind of came off to me anyways as him thinking or saying we need to replace some of those home runs with singles and doubles. And it's like, no. Like if you've got home runs available, definitely take them.
Yep.
But also add in more singles and doubles as you can.
They've done a good job of that.
Here's another number for you. So with the Vikings, I believe were tied with the Bears 13-13 going into the fourth quarter. And then early in the fourth, they scored that touchdown. Kirk helped lead them down the field and scored a touchdown. They missed the extra point, but they go up 19-13. That score holds. That was Kirk's second career game-winning drive as a Vikings quarterback. So he's, let's see here, 16, 15. As a Vikings quarterback, he's played 40 games in the regular season and what, two playoff games?
Saints and Niners.
And let's just go with the regular season numbers I have in front of me here. But sure. 40 regular season games, only two game winning drives. Plenty of opportunities because the Vikings have basically just been, you know, like five games above 500 over that stretch. So it's not like, oh, they're just like massacring teams and they're always up in the fourth quarter. Like there's been opportunities and he has not cashed in on those. I think there's been like 16 opportunities or something.
Yep.
And he's only cashed in on a couple of them. But again, credit, that's an area where he has not been great compared to the rest of the league. He did have eight game-winning drives between his last 2 years in Washington, and the four he had in 2017 tied the NFL lead. So there were opportunities, and he was cashing in on some of them in Washington, and he's only had it twice here. But like that's something that I would like to see more of. I would be less critical of Kirk if when put in those situations, it wasn't just an excuse fest by everyone. Well, I mean, the offensive line wasn't
perfect.
I'll
give you one. The Titans game.
Sure.
Like that Titans game is you're at home. The Titans are good, but not great. That is the definition of I'm paying you to do this. That's that game. And what was discouraging at that time about that game and that last drive was that it was hopeless from the start. And I, again, to your point, Phil, there was pressure. I get that. But sometimes you have to overcome the conditions to just basically say, I will do this. And that was a field goal. So like we're talking about getting 25 yards. But yeah, this one to me was impressive. And I do go back to, and the only thing that surprises me too, though, is I guess I'm a little bit confused as to why it took Kubiak this long to find the formula when he was not calling plays, but certainly had input and was here all last year. Like, I'm a little bit surprised that we had to turn this corner. I'm not saying that Kirk was going to be perfect or the offense was going to be perfect from day one with, you know, without a training camp and without exhibition games. But it is a little bit of a surprise that it took six games and then a bye week to regroup. But they have all done a good job of that.
Yeah, I agree. And I think there's a lot of wins left on the schedule here. And Kirk's going to have more opportunities to check some of these boxes. I would love to, before we get into our pigskin pecking order here, you posed a question to Declan and I. This is probably a week ago now. It was before the Bears game.
During Sunday's games.
That's what it was.
I was watching Red Zone, and it occurred to me as they flipped from game to game to game.
Pose your mobile, quarterback.
With unbelievable, talented mobile quarterbacks. And what we're seeing here is we're seeing the game has changed. It used to be Michael Vick of the Falcons can really run. Man, I wonder if there's more of those guys out there. Well, as they flipped from game to game, and you got Josh Allen, Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, Herbert, who can move, Joe Burrow.
Yeah, he can move.
Okay, the game has now changed. And my question was, how much more time do teams have to have the ability to say, but my guy's a drop back guy, you know, And he can't move. And the one thing is, and because this gets invoked every time I do this, the one name is, well, Brady can't move. Okay, first of all, he feels pressure. I saw him make a throw Sunday where he was dead, completely dead, and he felt the pressure, and he stepped up. He basically ran up three steps and made a great throw.
Yeah.
So let's take him off the table.
Well, he's also like the greatest right. pocket so passer but
let's,
of all
so
time.
Let's be so. Done there. So let's not throw TB12 in my face. So that being said, my question was, where are we at the point of everyone's going to have to accept that the game has changed and that teams like the Vikings, I think, are going to have to turn a corner in that acceptance and say, Cousins is our guy now, but the reality is we need to get one of these guys at some point pretty soon.
Yes. So that's where this conversation just gets a little bit more uncomfortable if you are very much clinging to the notion of Kirk Cousins as a guy that can help lead the Vikings to a Super Bowl. And the comparison I want to make compared to like 10 years ago in the NFL, where the majority of quarterbacks were traditional pocket passer guys. Think about the guys that you drafted in your fantasy football league in like 2010. I mean, it was Matt Ryan, Matt Ryan didn't come along until later, but it was Ben Roethlisberger, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Philip Rivers, Eli Manning. It was these traditional pocket passer types. And now it's, I would say, you know, you listed off some of them, but you watch Red Zone any given Sunday, and at least half the quarterbacks can escape pressure. And so if you don't have a quarterback who's mobile enough to escape pressure, keep plays alive, think about almost all the plays Josh Allen makes, but think about the play Kyler Murray made.
Yes.
To keep a play alive. Yes, it was a miracle reception. You know, these two giant hands go up through, you know, six defender
hands. But he should have been sacked.
It should have been over.
Yes.
Yep. You know, the Jacksonville Jaguars backup quarterback had a similar chance of like, all right, well, you're down by a score. You got to keep this thing alive. And it's like, he can't move. And so he gets tripped up. We've seen it with Kirk Cousins. If you don't have a mobile quarterback in today's NFL, it's like starting a boxing match or a UFC fight with one arm tied behind your back. You can still win the fight. No one's saying that you can't win the fight if you don't have a mobile quarterback, but you better be damn good with your other three limbs in that fight, right?
Yes.
And so when people bring up, well, what about Tom Brady? Okay, well, Tom Brady, I mean, okay, tie a hand behind his back, like if he was a professional boxer, it would be like if he had the greatest, like, flurry left jab of all time.
Yeah.
Kirk doesn't. So when you don't have one of the absolute all-time great pocket passers or guys who can, with their limited mobility like Tom Brady and Ben Roethlisberger, take that extra step and avoid, It just makes it a lot harder. The Vikings and Kirk are doing an amazing job the last 3 weeks, sort of scheming and just taking advantage of Dalvin Cook and putting Kirk in positions to where his lack of mobility is not as much of an issue. Mm-hmm. But at some point, and this is the tough conversation with Kirk, at some point, if you get into the playoffs, you're going to have to win like three or four games in a row against really good teams, and you're going to have to do it without perfect offensive line play.
Well, and that's the key thing. That's the most important thing. You've got two choices here. One is shed as much cap room as possible and go build up an O-line that is fantastic. But the majority of teams in this league don't have that, right? So what's the key thing now? I can give you an average to slightly below average O-line if I have a Kyler Murray or a Russell Wilson or a Burrow probably or a Herbert, right? So the key question that you have to ask yourself, the Vikings are basically currently constructed like a team that has a QB who can move, but they don't. But if you replace Kirk now with a young mobile quarterback, okay, their offensive line now is still not great, but the deficiencies are not nearly as glaring. So that's the thing. O-line play, I think, across the league, Phil, is not good. But a lot of teams can accept that because their quarterbacks can move and can run and can see 20 yards and say, I'm going to get that. Guys like Kirk and Nick Foles, there's no chance in hell that they can do that.
Yeah, and like think about how exciting most of the Vikings roster is right now. I don't know that there are really any teams in the NFL that I would swap skill position player sets for. Like, you've got Dalvin Cook is the best running back in the NFL right now.
Jefferson
and Thielen, you know, maybe the Falcons wide receiver combo with Ridley and Julio Jones, but there's really not many combos I would take over what the Vikings have.
Yeah, you're right.
The upside of Justin Jefferson, two good tight ends. I mean, like, their skill position players are ridiculous right now. You're starting to see some of these young defensive players. Once you bring Danielle Hunter back into the mix, I mean, they've got some pieces on defense. Offensive line is actually starting to shape up. Garrett Bradbury has been a lot better this season. Yes, Kirk Cousins has been good the last 3 weeks, but imagine if you could take Kirk and say, listen, thank you. Awesome. Great job.
I like how you thank him.
We're gonna move you
out.
You
had a lot
here.
Of singles. You bunted a lot. It was great.
And we're going to bring in a cheaper, which allows you to spend money elsewhere to make the roster even better.
Right.
Mobile quarterback who can also hit the same play action and deep passes at least like 80% of the time.
Let me give you this, okay? Think about this for 1 second. A quarterback who can extend plays and Jefferson on the receiving end extending plays.
Game over.
What are you going to do? Like if you are a cornerback, what are you going to do? If the Vikings quarterback can buy time and buy time and buy time and has a decent arm, it doesn't even have to be a great arm, right? And Justin Bleepin' Jefferson is 30 yards downfield, extending because he's smart and he's good himself, extending plays. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, it's game over. Like, it's game over because right now, everything with the Vikings passing game, everything has to happen within the first 3 seconds, right? Everything is, it's like, it's the scripted play with the scripted routes. Sometimes, maybe once a week, a play will sort of break down and Kirk, or it's a bootleg and he has like an extra second of time or something.
Sure.
But a lot of the big passing plays in the NFL, think about Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray. A lot of the big passing plays come from, okay, the initial play, one beat, two beats, it's not there, three beats, flush.
Exactly.
Four, five, oh, there's a guy streaking open across the field.
Amen.
Right?
You're right.
And we haven't been able to really experience that watching the Vikings. So, again, two things can be true. Kirk can be playing really well the last 3 weeks. They can be scheming really well for him. But the prospects and the idea of putting a more modernized mobile quarterback in that spot with the rest of this team that can grow the next 5 years is very tantalizing.
Right. And the goal of this show remains the same as it was weeks ago, which is not how do the Vikings get to the playoffs, which they could now. It's how do they win a Super Bowl.
Yes.
And I still don't think that they are closer to the latter goal than they were previously. Yep. Like, they're playing better. It's more fun to watch. But if you're asking me what wins a Super Bowl, I'm telling you it's a quarterback that can buy time and a guy like Jefferson deep downfield.
Back to Purple Daily in just a moment after we shout out Federated Mutual Insurance Company. Yeah, another round of restrictions announced here that start later in the week for the state of Minnesota, just COVID-related restrictions. And so if you're a business owner, this has been a tough year. If you feel underwhelmed by your current insurance company, if you just don't feel like you're getting the peace of mind and the resources that you need, Federated is here for you. Federated has over 100 years of experience in helping business owners. So just go to federatedinsurance.com to find out what resources you can take advantage of. And remember, at Federated, it's always our business to protect yours.
Yeah. Hey, you held him at 20 points, man. Yes, you gave us a chance at the end, but I got 3 words for you. You like that?
Boys, in our final few minutes here, let's go through our pigskin pecking order. The top 10 teams in the NFL.
All right.
Judd Zolgad.
I will blow through mine. Out are the Tennessee Titans, who were embarrassed by the Colts. Special teams, a problem there. So they drop out. This is by the way, this has become incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
Incredibly difficult. A lot of, so-so teams. Number 10 on my list, the Green Bay Packers move back in after 2 weeks being unranked. I gave this a lot of thought. They beat Jacksonville, not impressive, but I still put them back in because they are ultimately 7-2. Mm-hmm. Number 9, the Seattle Seahawks fall from 5, lost to the Rams. Russell Wilson did not play well. The Rams were on the doorstep of my list. They did not make it, but I dropped Seattle significantly, even gave thought of dropping them out, but I couldn't do it. Number 8, staying put, the Miami Dolphins. Ladies and gentlemen, Tua is 3-0 as a starter now. The Dolphins are 6-3. Number 7, dropping significantly for me because they lost to the Patriots. I know it was a rainy night in Foxborough. The Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson, and things have sort of just gone wrong. It's becoming Kaepernick-like.
Yeah.
Baltimore, falling to 7. Staying put at 6 because they lost on a miracle play after it looks like Stephon Diggs had made the winning catch for them, the Buffalo Bills at 7-3. My top 5, Arizona moving from 9-5. Kyler Murray, I'm telling you.
Okay, Dolly
MVP someday. MVP someday. Number 4, going from 4-10 back to 4 after they came back from a terrible loss to the Saints to beat Carolina, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 7-3. My top 3 are the Saints, who have won 6 consecutive games. They're 7-2. They go from 4-3. Breeze being out might hurt them ultimately, but I'm not going to penalize them yet. Pittsburgh at 9-0, and then the Chiefs are my top team at 8-1. So I go Chiefs, Steelers, Saints, Bucks, and Cardinals is my top 5. Bills, Ravens, Miami, Seattle, and Green Bay is my second 5, 6-10.
Dex, go ahead.
All right, I have a very similar list to Judd. Number 10 for me is the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, you take away Russell Wilson, and this is honestly one of the worst teams in the NFL. And look, it's the most important position, so Russell Wilson deserves MVP talk, but that Seahawks team is brutal, dude. But they're falling to 10. Number 9 for me is the Oakland Raiders. I'm in.
That's fair. That's very fair. I struggled with this one.
Wow. I'm in. I really am in. I think Derek Carr's turning a little corner here, and everyone gave John Gruden crap, and rightfully so, but he's got something cooking here. Look out for the Raiders. The Buffalo Bills at number 8 after their heartbreaking loss to the Cardinals. I do move the Packers up to 7. Yeah, they almost lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars, which would have been absolutely delicious for this show. However, they are 7-1. They have a good record. So I do have to keep them in the top 10. The Ravens fall for 6 because Lamar Jackson's just, I mean, it's kind of freaky that he's just spiraling out of control right now. Yeah. I really like that team. I think they're a very good team overall, but Lamar Jackson now is kind of holding them back. The Cardinals are at number 5 after their amazing win. I mean, Kyler Murray is one of the most fun players in football right now. The Bucks at number 4. New Orleans Saints at number 3. Judd makes a good point. I think they're probably going to come down to earth after the Drew Brees injury. That being said, they've won 6 in a row. The Chiefs are number 2, and the Steelers are number 1, simply for the fact the Steelers haven't lost a game. I still would probably take, in a coin flip game or an AFC championship game, the Chiefs to beat the Steelers. But for right now, in the sample of work, the Steelers are number 1. So my list goes Steelers, Chiefs, Saints, Bucks, Cardinals, Ravens, Packers, Bills, Raiders, and Seahawks rounding off my top 10.
I want that AFC championship matchup. Oh, that would be super fun. I'm going to go reverse order to change things up here just to preserve drama at the in the bottom 5. So Chiefs, Steelers, number 1, number 2 for me. I got the Saints 3. I've got the Buccaneers 4 because like their 3 losses, 2 were against the Saints. That's just their kryptonite. And 1 was just like a weird Tom Brady brain fart against the Bears. I still have the Bills number 5 because I think that offense is so dynamic. They got beat on a Hail Mary, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
I got the Bills 5. Yeah. Seahawks are 6 because Russell Wilson is 6. I still have faith in him. Packers number 7. I got the Rams up to 8. They're just like on the down low, sneaky good this season again.
Yeah.
Cardinals number 9. I've got the Ravens out of my top 10 because the number 10 team in the NFL, gentlemen.
Wow.
The Vikings have statistically the best offense in the NFL.
Did you take a turn to the wrong station today?
Some of the best weapons.
We're not in St. Louis Park.
This is not Viking State Media. This is Score North. This is Purple Daily.
I love the Vikings. Mike Zimmer is great. Yeah.
Yeah, not BD. Vikings are the 10th best team in the NFL
right now. The Vikings are loose. Yep. The Vikings are loose.
I got the Ravens, Titans, Dolphins, Colts, and Raiders just knocking on the door. So Chiefs, Steelers, Saints, Buccaneers, Bills, Seahawks, Packers, Rams, Cardinals, and the Vikings are in the pecking order for the first time in weeks.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. My head's going to blow off.
That's right.
Hey, you held him to 20 points, man. You gave us a chance at the end.
Love it.
But I got 3 words for you. You like that?
Yeah! Tastes good.
I heard it all week long, right? 0-9 on Monday night. Yeah! You like how this tastes?
Oh!
You like that? You like how that tastes?
All right. We'll see you guys tomorrow on Purple Daily.